I'm Dan Meisner, and this is Work in Progress, a show about the meaning and identity we find in work. From Slack. This week, careers defined by food, and why you are what you eat, in more ways than one.
Hi, Karen. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
When I'm excited, my voice gets really high. I'm excited because I'm eating at Karen Kenyard's Michelin star restaurant in Belgium.
This is Work in Progress producer Lily Ames, who recently got a very tasty assignment.
It's called Aki, and it's about 15 minutes outside of Bruges. Karen took over the restaurant from her business partner 3 years ago and still can't believe her success.
I saw myself in something very small, doing it all by myself, just a lunch room, something like that, making salads and soup and then a small thing just like that. Never, I'm gonna have a star restaurant.
Karen is all about modesty. Her style is very subtle, even in the kitchen, which is small, with two other women. They like it quiet and collaborative. This is Eva, her sous chef, although they don't use those terms.
Yeah, we don't have titles, we just work together to make it work.
We können ein bisschen kommandieren, Eva.
What did you say?
I have to command you.
As the boss, Karen may be kind, but she also has an intense side and worked very hard to get where she is.
Mostly, I wait till 1 o'clock at night for the customers to leave, and then the next day I'm at 9 o'clock in my kitchen. See, I don't get much sleep and I don't get much time for myself anymore. I'm a perfectionist, so it's in my character to always want to be the best. Yeah, very soon you're the second in the kitchen with the trust of the chef, and you do as you want. So it didn't take me long to get there. I'm glad.
The Michelin star rating is almost a century old. It's changed over the decades, but represents the highest standard of excellence in the restaurant industry around the world. One star can put your restaurant on the map and set the chef up for a lifetime of success.
For young chefs, that's the ideal. You have to have one.
Eating at a Michelin star restaurant is a treat. And my waiter, Sam, is delivering non-stop treats.
Here we have a molten potato with some paprika, some mackerel, and a pancetta bacon. Enjoy.
On my right, a woman dining alone with a glass of red wine and a pooch in her lap. Sam tells me she's a regular. And on my left, a man in a blue leisure suit is celebrating with two other women.
A gentleman over there wants to give you a glass of champagne.
When the man sees my microphone, he buys me a glass of champagne and insists I toast with them. I must admit, I didn't realize it would be so, well, fancy. I start to look down at my running shoes, my sports backpack filled with recording gear. I feel out of place. Sam assures me he'll guide me through this.
If someone uses a bigger fork, like when they get the appetizers, I just slightly move them so they know they have to use that one.
Apparently, I'm not the only one who is a little uncomfortable. Karen says she gets calls from people unsure of what to wear. Like this woman who called with a question about her husband's shorts.
It was very warm weather. Is it okay if he comes in short? And I said, of course. And yeah, who am I to say you may not? But if you have a starred restaurant, yeah, maybe the other customers will not take that as polite. So you have a whole criticism from your other customers just because you said that one customer could come in short. So I don't want to have that phone calls anymore.
Karen is starting to feel uncomfortable with the formal setting of her own restaurant.
The kind of people who come here all dressed up and being stiff upper lip to experience the starting. I'm 45 years old now. As a cook, you have to do the kind of restaurant you want to eat yourself, and you have the people, you attract the people who you feel comfortable with.
When she started to research other Michelin star restaurants, Karen noticed she didn't fit in.
When you go to that kind of restaurants, you'll be treated like a child because they say you have to use that knife and that. And then they explain a lot about your food, and your food is getting cold, and their explanation is not finished yet. And then you want to start your food, and their explanation is not finished yet. And then, yeah, I have something like, okay, I'm going to taste if it's good. And I don't want to know everything what's in it, but let me eat.
But you can't exactly give back your Michelin star, can you?
Yeah, maybe you can send them a message, I don't want it anymore, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, I didn't look for it.
And so Karen is doing the unthinkable in her trade. She's packing in her Michelin star restaurant and starting something more herself. This spring, Karen will open a new restaurant. She's named it Canteen Copine. It means happy kitchen, and ironically, it's more in line with her original vision, something small and simple.
For me, the food is most important. And then you sit at a simple table on a simple chair and you get the most amazing food. For me, that's what counts.
And her lean, all-female team is going with her. If you're in Bruges, you should look it up. No dress code required.
Work in Progress is an original series from Slack. Slack is where work happens, at places like Zipcar and Madeira Holdings, a family business in Kenya, East Africa. More on them at the end of the show. To find out more about Slack or to get in touch, visit us. We're at slack.com/podcast or tweet us at Slack Stories. At the top of the show, we heard from Karen, a reluctant Michelin star chef. And what I loved about Karen's story is that once she realized she wasn't happy with her work environment, once she realized she didn't always feel comfortable in her own restaurant, she did something about it. She didn't just imagine or wish for the workplace she wanted. She went out and she created it, a new restaurant with a new approach. And that idea of creating the place you want to work, that's what our next story is about. Producer Mio Edelman has the story of one man and his ambition to recreate the taste of his childhood.
One day, Bonnie and Clyde said to me, "Senor Nobles, what do we have to do to get a real Mexican taco? Rob a bank?" No, I said, "I'll sell you my crisp taco for $60.
Okay, I don't know about that commercial, but listen to this.
When I had a taco, there was something about the sauce on it and the seasoning and the ground beef, and then just how all the different components with the shell and the lettuce and the cheese and the tomato and the sauce and the beef, how that all came together, that seemed to equal more than the sum of its parts. Like, to me, there was magic in it. I was addicted to the food from the first bite."
That's Christian Zebarth. He loves Mexican food. As a teenager growing up in Huntington Beach, California, a place called Noggles, the one in the commercial, was his favorite spot.
Noggles is a fast food concept that started in the year 1970. It was founded by a man named Richard Noggle. He was also known as Dick Noggle or Dutch. And there are Mexican items on the menu that have something of an Americanized spin on them.
Combo burrito? Yeah, you have the combo burrito and the meat soft taco.
Okay, and then the taco salad cup?
Okay.
Taco cup.
And one original taco.
Driving around Huntington Beach, Christian told me a bit more about his Noggles obsession.
When I graduated from high school, there was a Noggles across the street from the community college that I went to, and I went there very often, you know, before class, after class.
Before and after class.
Yeah, oh yeah, both.
Years later, in 2007, now working as a web developer, Christian got hit with a major craving for one of those Noggles tacos.
So I knew it had closed up in my stomping grounds, and I wasn't seeing it, but I just thought that, oh, at some point in time, I'll see a Noggles out there somewhere, and then I'll go.
He was comforted by at least the delicious thought of one day satisfying his craving.
later on it started dawning on me, no, they're all gone. The entire chain is completely gone.
The once mighty Noggles chain of 225 franchises had merged with and was then absorbed by the Del Taco chain. The last location closed in 1995. Christian would never again get to eat that thing he loved, the taco so tied to his youth.
And so I wrote a blog entry about Noggles and my memories of it.
On his amateur food blog, which was called Orange County Mexican Food.
All of a sudden, I started getting flooded with comments about how people wanted a cheese burrito, how much they loved the taco salad cup. And I was like, wow, this is unusual here. This is quite a response. Somebody wrote and said, as soon as they come back, I'm going to order a cheese burrito. I thought, coming back, okay, huh. And that started something turning in my head. After that, I determined that I was going to make sure I got to a Noggles no matter what.
But I thought there was no more Noggles.
Hi, can I have a chicken soft taco, please? Mm-hmm. And I'd also like a combo burrito.
Food, to me, is something that binds people together. And when you first think of food, you think, oh, it fuels your body, it stops you from being hungry. But there's very often a social and an emotional aspect to it. And people have powerful memories of food.
It seems many people had the same Noggles memories as Christian. I mean, I get it. I still remember the restaurants my family used to go to and the food we used to eat. I miss those dishes and I miss those times. So Christian followed up his first blog post with another one. It was a petition to Del Taco, the company that had taken over Noggles but then closed it down.
Petition to Del Taco, bring back Noggles. That was the actual title. Said, you know, Del Taco, I think you have an opportunity here and you could, you know, do something big with this. There's a lot of people interested.
Would this get Del Taco's attention?
Nothing happened, but more and more comments were coming in, more people talking about it.
But then Christian got a chance to directly plead his case. Del Taco's PR person just happened to be reaching out to local food bloggers for ideas. Christian seized the opportunity.
And near the end of the meeting, she asked me, if there was anything you could do with the Del Taco menu, what would you do? And I tend to be very laid back, but this time I kind of sat up in my seat, looked at her very determinedly, and I said, you know what you need to do? Del Taco needs to bring the Noggles items back. And I still remember her going, that's a good idea. I'm going to take that back to the marketing people. I thought, oh, hey, something's starting to happen here.
Just getting that delicious Noggles taco and some other Noggles items on the Del Taco menu would have been good enough for Christian.
She actually wrote to me about a month after our in-person visit and said, the marketing people want to have you come in and talk with them. I said, wow, that sounds great. Let me know when and I'll be over there.
Christian could almost taste those tacos now. But then excitement slowly faded to disappointment. Del Taco kept putting off the meeting. Months turned into a year. In the meantime, Christian continued blogging about Noggles.
It got to the point where I thought, there's a critical mass here of people that if Noggles was open, they would just go. Like, this is like a real, very real, tangible opportunity. And if Del Taco doesn't do it, somebody has to do it. It sort of fell to me, I guess. I've got to do something to bring this back because there's so many people that want it, and I want it.
Can I get one original taco, please?
Okay.
And a combo cup, please.
Combo cup, butter, green
sauce? Green sauce.
Green?
This is where Christian's taco story gets really weird.
So I did some research online, talked to lawyer friends, and found out if you have a trademark and you don't use it for 3 years or more, that constitutes abandonment.
It had been 15 years.
I talked with more people about it, more lawyers that I knew, and they started saying, like, you might actually have a case here, amazingly.
Okay, you realize what Christian is proposing, right? A hostile takeover of a dormant fast food chain. With the support of a few investors, business partners equally passionate about Noggles, Christian actually went to court to seize Noggles from Del Taco.
And I thought, oh, it's going to be so clear that they've abandoned it, that's just going to end the case pretty quickly.
But Del Taco wasn't interested in giving up Noggles. That would have opened them up to competition, so they were sitting on the brand, and they had deep pockets to do it with. The case dragged on and on for years. That taco Christian wanted stuck in the balance.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Sometimes you just have to kind of, you're standing on the edge of the high dive. You just have to take that leap.
That leap started to cost him.
I was dating my wife while the case was going on. I was running low on money. I have no idea what's going to happen with it. I believe the facts are on our side, but I don't know what the ruling is going to be like. And she goes, I just like that you're trying something.
Friends and family weren't as understanding.
People are like, just step away from the business, Christian.
And who can blame them? What Christian was doing was kind of crazy. This would be like, let's say, for some reason, McDonald's went out of business and you sued for control of the company because you wanted to eat one more Big Mac.
I was kind of believing in other people's belief in it. The shared memory, the shared enthusiasm for Noggles. It wasn't so much did I have faith in myself as much as did I have faith in the concept.
But would faith prevail in court? I get that Christian had found a community of other Noggles fanatics. I get that they inspired him to go down this path. But to really understand his love of Mexican food, you have to go deeper into Christian's childhood.
We always felt like if either mom or dad cooked, it was going to be a treat. And they both made different Mexican items. That was the way for the family to socialize, largely. We could get into like a taco production mode with somebody frying the corn tortillas, somebody doing the beef, somebody doing shredding the lettuce, somebody dicing the tomatoes, somebody grating the cheese.
To be clear, Christian Zeebarth isn't Mexican.
No, I'm not Mexican.
What are you?
Euro-mutt.
His introduction to Mexican food was thanks to a uniquely West Coast cultural melting pot.
And then on weekends, we would often drive up to Los Angeles and go to Mexican restaurants and bakeries. Sometimes the chains, sometimes little hole-in-the-wall places.
His dad shared Christian's passion for Noggles.
He liked Noggles. He took me to Noggles, and he would make Ortega burgers at home and then say, well, the Noggles does this.
What was it about Mexican food that your father liked so much?
Well, he and my uncle, his brother, they grew up in a predominantly Mexican area, East LA. And he said that he didn't know until he was 12 years old that he wasn't Mexican.
So maybe it was these family memories, as well as a craving for a Noggles taco, that kept Christian warm during his long, cold court battle with Del Taco. Because finally, after 5 years...
I was walking on the beach out here across the street when I got a text on my phone from our lawyer saying that the trademark office had ruled in our favor.
Unbelievably, Christian Zeebarth and his business partners had snatched away the Noggles trademark. Christian could have his taco and eat it too, right? Not so fast. There was another problem. Noggles hadn't existed for decades. No one had kept the recipes. If Del Taco did, they weren't sharing. And it's not like Christian, a web developer, had any restaurant experience. All he had was memories. And how do you revive an entire menu based on memories? Enter local chef John Smittle.
Now the challenge was definitely, we have a food chain that has not been in existence for 25 years. I ate there as a kid, so I remember it.
Together in a test kitchen, Christian and John fumbled in the dark, describing taste memories and trying to recreate them.
My first thought was, I need to get this smell. When you walk in the door, it's got to trigger the memory instantly. And I have you at least there, like with the smell. Then we have to get with the seasoning mix. Like, the seasoning mix was like the base, the basic seasoning that goes in the ground beef.
At the same time, Christian was searching Orange County for ex-Noggles employees. Some of them had helpful advice.
Well, I can tell you this about the red sauce. I can tell you this about the green sauce, taco sauce, meat seasoning, etc. And then I would hear something from another employee, and I would take this information to John. Oh, I just learned this.
Slowly, they pieced it together.
Mexican oregano and thyme, but you got to be really careful with thyme because it can become overwhelming. It sounds strange and simple, but this is what drove a lot of the food, was that basic kind of northern Mexican seasonings. Wow. It was a struggle, and when we found it, we were like, all right, this is it. Like, you smell, like, you just smell that raw seasoning mix. And when it hit the heat, you know, it just blossomed into the room, and we're like, oh, this is awesome.
But would others feel the same way?
Then we brought in ex-employees, fans, and we did lots of tastings. And you're like, is this what you remember? Is this what we, or are we there?
Not everyone had the same taste memories.
We've had employees walk in and go, we cannot believe you nailed the hot sauce. That's exactly what I remember. 10 minutes later, someone goes, this hot sauce isn't right. It doesn't taste like the original. And they both worked for Noggles. Many people remember 1974, and then other people's memory is it from 1984.
Other people objected to John and Christian's insistence on using healthier ingredients than the original Noggles.
We've had some pushback against that, where people say, you know, I really miss the pool of orange grease at the bottom of my burrito. But, you know, we said, but like, taste the food first.
And then there was the cheese burritos issue. Noggles cheese burritos require a special steamer.
I had a former employee send me all the specs for what I should be looking for, and what they used before is not available now.
After months of exhaustive recon and tinkering with recipes, John and Christian found new steamers and a middle ground on people's taste memories.
What was the dish for you where you took a bite of it and you were like, this is it?
The original taco.
The hard shell corn with the ground beef?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is Noggle's original taco sauce.
How can you remember what a taco sauce tastes like 25 years ago?
Tastes and smells are very powerful memory triggers.
So you close your eyes and you're back at Noggle's.
Oh, yeah.
1990.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so were thousands of grateful, hungry fans who descended on the Noggle's test kitchen / first location on opening day.
People were waiting 3 hours in line to get in and order their food. People were coming from all over California and coming from Nevada and Arizona. Some guy came from Boston. We had a woman who bought a non-refundable airline ticket from Phoenix to Orange County so she could eat at Noggles. She took a bite out of her cheese burrito and got teary-eyed.
Do you ever get teary-eyed when they get teary-eyed?
Well, a little bit. I just think that this is what it's about, actually positively affecting somebody. Triggering a positive memory, creating a positive memory, like, that's it. The food is helping that, but that's what it's about.
The test kitchen location was soon followed by a second one on the beach near Huntington Pier. And now the Noggles team is preparing the franchise up to 1,000 locations. Christian is quickly becoming a local hero. And some people are calling his story the fast food takeover of the century.
So I have two original tacos, a black cherry, chicken soft taco, another black cherry, combo burrito,
Work in Progress is a show from Slack. Slack is where work happens, at places like Madeira Holdings, a family business all the way in Kenya, East Africa. Here's how they use Slack.
I'm Eric Karogo, the Managing Director of Madeira Holdings Limited. We are located in Kembu, the well-known coffee-growing region in Kenya, East Africa. When our father decided to retire in 2015, Slack very quickly became our new best friend. It has increased our efficiency and response time by like a gazillion points. Follow these instructions. Go take a look in the mirror. See the lines on your face. See the worry that the day is done, but you needed to have your team ready for an operational meeting at 8 a.m. See the beads of sweat as you think of ways to have everyone contribute to a list of questions to ask the consultant on Monday? Need an immediate and rolling status updates on field activities on the coffee farm? But oh no, you can't. Now slap yourself. Now go get Slack. Feel good.
To find out more about Slack or to get in touch, visit us. We're at slack.com/podcast or tweet us at Slack Stories. And hey, if you are a podcast listener, if you are a fan of the medium of podcasting, help spread the love. I'm willing to bet there is someone in your life who would love to listen to podcasts, but doesn't really know how or doesn't really know where to start. So take a minute, show somebody that you care about how to listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, why not recommend a few shows they might like? You can also recommend your favorite shows on social media. Just use the hashtag Tripod. That's TRYPOD. Get it? Tripod? I'm Dan Meisner. Thanks for listening.